Welcome back, everyone, to Box Podcast, and we have a title battle on our hands. Everything we wished for going into Abu Dhabi has kind of come true. You know, this is as close as it was probably realistically going to get. And Qatar provided a very entertaining weekend, so we have a lot to dive into today. But before I get into it, we are Box Pod, powered by Box Club, the best F1 widgets app on both the App Store and the Android Store. The Google Play Store, I mess this part up every time. But yeah, go check them out. It is a free-to-download widgets app and free to use up to a certain point. And then if you want certain features, you just pay. And we offer an exclusive discount code, which will be in the bio down below. Anyway, check us out on social media. We are Box Pod. You will find us at Box Clips on TikTok, where we do put out additional content. Anyway, I'm not going to hold you back anymore. Let's dive into this.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new podcast. And I don't know how I feel after that race because, yes, we head into Abu Dhabi and, it's a title battle we wanted. But I'm leaving this race kind of going, I don't quite understand what McLaren were doing today because I feel like that was an Oscar Piastri win. Oscar Piastri should have won that race today. Like, there's no doubt about it. You know, take nothing away from Max, but Oscar Piastri, his pace all weekend was phenomenal. He should have won that race today. And McLaren strategy screwed that for him, ultimately. And him and Lando. And, you know, realistically, both McLaren should be leaving with a 1-2. But yeah, my God, I do not understand. We'll talk about this, you know, throughout the podcast, but I do not understand the logic of McLaren
today. I do. I understand it fully.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions, ask me. I will explain it.
Okay. So, first question. 9 teams pitted at the first safety car, and the only team who didn't pit was McLaren. Why is that, Luke?
Let me tell you why. Because if McLaren pitted, they obviously would have had to pit both cars, right? If you bring in Oscar Piastri, you're going to bring in Lando Norris because that was the better strategy, right? That was the sensible thing to do. Everyone knew that, right? It was essentially a free stop. However, what they couldn't do was bring in both of them because that would have been detrimental to Lando Norris because he would have lost positions because, you know, the pack was pretty tight and he would have been held up behind Oscar Piastri and he would have lost positions when he came out, right? That's a fact. That is exactly why they decided to pit neither of them, because it benefited Lando Norris. Now, I've not really been on board this McLaren give preferential treatment to Lando train, but I do think today was a prime example that I may be incorrect and I've got no issues ever being wrong. In fact, I am wrong quite a lot of the time, but that's exactly why it happened, okay? Now, we come in to Qatar with it looking very likely that Lando Norris is going to win the championship, right? He could have wrapped it up this weekend. He didn't. That's fine. This is not Lando's fault at all, by the way. I know some of you Lando fans, you're a bit soft and you're going to cry about this, but that's not what I'm saying. But Oscar Piastri was supreme all weekend, right? And Oscar Piastri is still able to win the championship. I'm talking about before we come into this weekend, right? So at no point, in my opinion, should we be giving preferential treatment to Lando Norris, right? If this was going to happen at any point during the season, you should have done it a while back when Oscar Piastri was absolutely killing it. But whatever went on behind the scenes to make Oscar Piastri forget how to drive happened and we are where we are. Now, you stick to normal race rules. I'm not saying just give preferential treatment to the driver in front. Oscar Piastri was the faster driver, right? If it was strictly between Lando and Max Verstappen, prioritize Lando because that's what you should do. That's what you didn't do last season when Lando was in a title fight. And now both your drivers are in a title fight. You're only prioritizing one. Okay, so what they did was they attempted to prioritize Lando. They compromised both of them and they absolutely screwed Oscar. It's as simple as that. And it's mismanagement from McLaren once again that has cost them a 1-2. And it's led to not only them like dropping points, but they've crucially dropped points to the one man they didn't want to drop points to, Max Verstappen. Because if McLaren do not win the Drivers' Championship with either driver, this season is a complete and utter failure.
No, I agree. And I, look, you know my opinions. I've said this before. If you've been, if you've watched us and listened to us for a while, you will know my opinions on everything. On Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris and that. Don't have an agenda, but I've been pretty honest in what I feel happens in McLaren. I guarantee today, if Lando was leading that race... Sorry, that's my cat in the back. If Lando
is a noisy cat.
It is, yeah. If Lando was leading that race today, they would have pitted him first. They would have pitted him. I do believe it's simply the fact that Oscar, this whole thing of like preferential treatment, the driver who is leading the race or the number one driver within that team should have preferential treatment for the pit stops. And today, look, Oscar came over the radio as well and he was like, "Why we've got a lot of work to do here." You know, when you look at 9 teams out of 10 pitting, why are you keeping both cars out? You know, you had to change tyres after 25 laps. And, you know, in my opinion, Red Bull played it perfectly today. They played it absolutely perfectly. And this is the issue when McLaren try outsmarting Red Bull. You know, every time we've seen it, McLaren have always tried to dummy Red Bull or they've tried to outsmart Red Bull. Once again, you've seen a difference between men and boys today because Red Bull have made the right decisions when it counts. And that is why we should not be even having this discussion now that Max Verstappen is still in his title fight. And at the end of the Dutch Grand Prix, he was 104 points behind Oscar Piastri. Okay, he is now 12 points behind Lando Norris heading into Abu Dhabi. This is a conversation we should not be having. McLaren should have had this wrapped up by now.
How many times have we said, don't bother trying to be different or outsmart Red Bull. Just copy their fucking homework. They're the best in class, right? They're the A-star student when it comes to strategy. McLaren have never outsmarted them. At the rate they're going, I don't believe they ever will outsmart them. Just copy them. But like I say, this wasn't... in my opinion, this was not a matter of strategy call. This wasn't McLaren trying to be better than them. I saw quite a funny tweet over it where it was Max Verstappen. It was like, I get P1, you get flexibility. And it's like... Yeah, that was the trade-off. I don't know what this flexibility was, because it was fairly rigid anyway. I know they got to come in earlier, but you know, you had a maximum of 25 laps that you could do on a single stint. So this was purely about not screwing Lando Norris, which they ended up doing anyway, right? More so. Had they just pitted them both early on, Lando would have made his way through and... Would he have overtaken Max Verstappen? I don't know. But look, finishing P3 would have been better than finishing P4.
Well, ultimately, what would have happened is, you know, Piastri would have won that. Max P2, Lando P3. It's exactly what he needed. He needed to finish P3 in the sprint, the race, and next week's race, and he's champion. That's ultimately what they had to do. But they decided to, you know, make this strategy when they're coming over, go, no, we think we've got this right. We've got this right. We've got a better deficit against the other teams. I mean, if you're Zak Brown and Andrea Stella sitting on the pit wall, right, and you're turning around when that safety car comes out and going, right, I see every other team here coming out with tyres, that's the right decision to make. And, you know, Oscar Piastri came over the radio at the end and they said, look, checkered flag, Oscar, your pace was incredible. And it was. All weekend we saw... the old Oscar back today. And he came over and said, speechless. I don't have any words. You know, I think, you know, this is just pure disappointment for McLaren. And if they go away from Abu Dhabi not being a driver's champ or having a driver's champion, my God, they got questions to answer. Because like we've said before, winning the constructors is nice, but winning the driver's championship is nicer.
I mean, that is what F1 is about. F1 is about... producing world champions. No, look, and I get it from the team side of it, the engineers and everything being rewarded with that constructors championship, you know, is a great testament to all the hard work they put in. But you look at Red Bull, right? Red Bull have always got it right. They know, you know, come 2021, who was celebrating more? Red Bull or Mercedes? If it was about the constructors, then Mercedes would have been punching the air with joy, but they weren't. It's about winning the world championship as a driver. And, you know, if you've built a car that is capable of winning a world championship, that's what people remember, right? And McLaren will not look back at this era and think, oh, what a great period of time. If they don't win the championship this season, they're going to think, 2024, we were in with a good shot, messed it up a little bit. 2025, what the hell went wrong there? God, I don't want to think about that. You know, they'll have nightmares about this time. So this is all a product of their own work. They've completely produced this mess themselves. And look, Lando is still going into Abu Dhabi as favourite, right? He was helped a little bit by Kimi Antonelli at the end of the race. I don't know what the hell went on there, but it was like Mario Kart. And I don't know whether Lando threw a banana skin at him or something, but all of a sudden he just slid a little bit and let him pass. But 12 points ahead of Max Verstappen is not going to have Lando sleeping very well this week. And as far as Max is concerned, right, bear in mind we've got a four-time world champion here. A consecutive four-time world champion who knows what it takes to win a world championship under the greatest amount of pressure. You know, if we're looking back to 2021, Max Verstappen is going to be sleeping like a baby this week. So he's going to be like, I spent most of this year thinking that I've got no chance. You know, even Brazil, we were like, yeah, look, this is not possible for Max. But we did say, if anyone's going to do it, Max is doing it. And now, you know, he's heading into the final race of the season with a 12-point deficit. And granted, I know that means that something has to happen to Lando. It could also just mean that Lando suffers from bottling it. Because we know Max won't. Max isn't going to turn up to Abu Dhabi and not perform. Okay? There's no fear there. Lando Norris might.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. And, you know, Max today was brilliant and Red Bull played it absolutely perfectly. And when you, it's interesting because when you say Lando Norris is still favourite, and it's funny, isn't it? I have more confidence in Max Verstappen and Red Bull at this point in time than I do McLaren and Lando Norris, even though Lando is leading the championship by 12 points. Because after the sprint yesterday, all Lando had to do was outperform Max by 1 point. And Max Verstappen was out of this championship battle, okay? Then you're heading into Abu Dhabi, and all it is Oscar versus Piastri. And then, you know, McLaren can do what they want to do to favour Lando or whatever. And only joking, Lando fans, like, they don't do that really. But Max, for somehow, is only now 12 points behind. It's like, I genuinely believe McLaren are scared of Max Verstappen. This whole thing, all their decision making is about trying to outperform Red Bull, trying to, you know, make Red Bull make errors and get Max out of this championship. And ultimately, they're just screwing it for themselves because GP, Red Bull, Max Verstappen, they're not bottlers. Okay, they're not bottlers. They're the best around. And we've said this before. At the best of decision-making, strategy, the driver, the performance, Red Bull have it all. And I genuinely believe at this moment in time, look, if Max Verstappen comes away next week winning the championship, I'm not going to be surprised at all because, like you say, it is very much the fact of this is Lando Norris. And I've given him credit the last few races. He's been fantastic to get himself leading the championship. But we've got to remember, and I stand by what I've said in the past, this is Lando Norris. And actually, when pressure comes, and he's going to have a lot of pressure come next week, can he deliver? I don't know.
Well, remember, guys, all we need I say all we need, like, I want Max to win. I should stress to anyone listening that I don't want Max Verstappen to win. If I had it my way, no one would win. But look, I'm a Lewis fan, and I kind of treat F1 like football, because I'm also a big football fan, right? If my team aren't winning, aka Lewis Hamilton, I kind of don't want anyone else to win. But someone is going to win. For me, all I wanted was this. This scenario is perfect. Going into the final race of the season and knowing that it's not set. You know, if Lando Norris finishes fourth, which is entirely possible, you know, if we get to Abu Dhabi and the Mercedes are looking strong, you know, George Russell is always a threat to these guys. If, you know, Oscar is on par, you know, if Oscar is the Oscar that we've seen for the majority of the season, and Max Verstappen is going to be there, you know, Max finishes first, Lando finishes fourth, Max is a world champion, Max is a five-time world champion. That is not impossible. So it's really going down to the wire, and anything can happen, because you know what it's like when you're under pressure. Oh my, like, look, Max is not going to be feeling the same. Max will be naturally nervous, right? When you get there, he's going to be thinking, look, this is still an important race for me. I still need to do as well as I can because I can win it. But he's going to know how to deal with that. He's had this feeling before. So he's going to know how to deal with this, how to process that adrenaline. Lando Norris and probably Oscar Piastri, they're going to be shaking like leaves, you know? Because they're going to be feeling an overwhelming amount of adrenaline and anticipation and anxiety going into this race because it's so important. And look, whoever wins it, in my opinion, is a worthy world champion. The three of them have been head and shoulders above everyone this season. But for me, if Max Verstappen wins that championship when we get to Abu Dhabi, That one is probably going down in the history books.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah, it's just an interesting one. And look, if you're new to this, we go between each team and discuss their performance. And we've basically just finished off with McLaren here. But look, can we just say once again? And there's vast difference between a champion and somebody who's leading the championship. And Max Verstappen once again today showed off the line why he is a four-time world champion, because that start, and once again we're having this conversation, Lando Norris put himself in a difficult position by losing the place at the start before turn one, and he caused himself more work to do, didn't he? And how many times do we have this conversation? And I know people are going to be listening to this podcast and go, oh, the Lando agenda. Oh, you hate Lando. Look, I don't hate Lando. I've never met the guy. But I'm talking about performances. And actually, you do not see those starts from other world champions. Do you know what I mean? And Lando may go on and win a championship. Absolutely fine. But you do not see those type of starts from other champions. You just don't.
All I will say is I don't think Lando did anything wrong today. There wasn't too much more he could have done, in my opinion. Okay, granted, yeah, he got off the line bad. Max took the position. That is something that Lando needs to work on. But his drive was.
How many times? Okay, you say he needs to work on. Right, Luke, we've been doing this podcast now for what, 4 years? And how many times have we had the conversation about Lando needs to get a better start? Like, I hate seeing it, because as a driver, that must be horrible. I feel for Lando because, you know, you're going up against these drivers and you want to become the world champion and be the best. But then you're constantly losing. What was your stat last week? Because he did it last week as well, didn't he? What was it like?
Yeah, I think it was like something like 8 out of 16, or probably not even as much as 16. It was a pretty damning statistic about Lando losing pole positions into turn one, basically, or lap one.
And I know...
And, like, You're right. I'm not disagreeing with you, because Lando definitely has an issue with jumping off the start, but his issue started all the way back in qualifying. You know that this is the only thing that worries me about Lando, right? I think Lando is very, very fast, but I fear that he has just got the bottle gene in him a little bit, where when that pressure is on, he gets shaky, he gets nervous. You see him making mistakes, simple errors. You know, it's rare we see Lando crash out and have like an absolute disaster, but it's little things that creep in. You're like, they are potentially the difference between you winning a world championship and not. You know, if Lando Norris had qualified P1, which was difficult, definitely, because Oscar looked so good, it would have been a vastly different race, because I think he would have held position quite comfortably.
You know, I know we're touching on, obviously, for Lando at that point, but the team, the reason why they're in this situation and why Lando is under extreme pressure now heading into Abu Dhabi is obviously the disqualification last week. That hasn't helped. Again, that was a team error. We're looking a week later. The team's decision and the strategy has cost Lando and Oscar today. So, you know, McLaren have made some very good decisions over the years. Over the year, granted, you know, that's why they're the Constructors' World Champions, but they're, it looks like you're starting to get a bit of pressure within the actual team itself. And, you know, you've said about, what was it, Will Joseph, about his how he sounds over the radio, you know. And but it's interesting because you put in the group chat earlier about Lando, and what I'm trying to understand, because obviously I couldn't listen to it all because I was out, but he said the engineer came over and said, you've gone back to what you were doing before. And Norris came over the radio and went, yeah, I'm trying. I need more help then, because I can't do it.
Yeah, I find communications like that strange. Everyone's different. You might sit there. Let me just adjust my camera a little bit. You might sit there and think, I don't know, I'm wrong for thinking that, but I stand by the fact that I think the communications between him and his engineer are always a little bit strange, and they don't fill me with... If I was a Lando fan, right, and I was sitting there watching him, a lot of those conversations don't fill me with confidence. And I'm speaking from experience, because I have to listen to Lewis speaking to Adami, so that is... challenging. I just feel there's things like that yeah make me question that dynamic. And it's kind of, I feel like I see that throughout the team. McLaren is such an unbelievable team, right, and they've done so well to drag this car to the front through this era, but there's something not killer about them. They're not killers. They're not ruthless. It's a little bit nice. It's a little bit like nursery versus secondary school. You know, one's a lot more brutal.
No, agree. Do let us know. Well, one final question on McLaren, Luke, because obviously Oscar was fantastic this weekend. And yeah, I still stand by he should have won that race as long as the strategy worked. But say neither Norris or Oscar Piastri win the championship this year, okay? Say Max goes on and gets it next week. Is this Lando Norris's chance of winning a championship in the future gone? Is this his best opportunity? Will he get another opportunity like this?
I mean, that's always a tough one, right? Because I can't predict the future, right? And your best opportunity is always going to be the opportunity that you're currently experiencing, if that makes sense. Like, of course, at this point, this is Lando's best opportunity to win a world championship. He's leading the championship as we head into the final race. It's all in his hands. All he needs to do is finish ahead of Verstappen and Piastri. But to be in that position, you have to be a very quick driver. You know, You don't get to the last race of the season as a bum and lead the championship. You have to be a very, very quick driver to be in this scenario. Now, the tricky thing with F1 is that you also need a car under you in order to be able to go on and win a world championship. Now, I would say based on recent history, you're not going to be... And I'm talking like the last 15 years or so, you wouldn't necessarily expect McLaren to produce a championship winning car, right? You'd expect them to do better than they did in the start of the turbo hybrid era, or pretty much the whole turbo hybrid era, where they were basically winless. There was a very, very small handful in there. I think it might have even just been one, thinking about it. But if Lando Norris has the car, I think he's got every chance of winning a world championship next season, the season after. That if Lando Norris doesn't win the world championship this year, it would be hard to say it's because he's done something wrong, in my opinion. And people might disagree with that. People might say, well, he has bottled it. And I think that if he has an absolute howler at Abu Dhabi, I might look at it and think, yeah, you're not world championship material because you haven't got it in you. But if it's a very tight race, he just gets pipped to it by Max, I think, well, look, if Lando has a car, he'll have another opportunity.
Yeah, do you know what? Look, I've said my bits on Norris and whether I thought he was championship material. And, you know, if he goes on to win next week, I'm more than happy to stand corrected. I'm more than happy to say, do you know what? I got it wrong. And I think he's actually been very impressive the last few races. And actually, we've seen a real different Lando Norris to maybe what we've seen earlier in the year. If Lando goes on to win, fair play. You know, fair play. He's a very worthy world champion, and he's actually delivered and he's turned it around, which is exactly what we were unsure whether he could actually do. But if he goes away and, like you say, he has an awful race, or he spins, or he gets himself into poor qualifying or whatever, then the questions will be answered, because this is Lando Norris's. This was Lando Norris's to lose, and he had a very nice gap. And granted, I know the disqualification didn't help, but you know, you also look back at earlier in the season in Canada. You know, all these little things. We will be having a different discussion. But I hope that's not the case, because for any driver who has this amount of pressure, I hope they go on and deliver. And I'm not Lando Norris's biggest fan, but I do hope that actually, if for him, he can go in and actually deliver that next week.
But look, it's easy for us to talk about Lando in this way and talk up Max and everything. But let's not forget that Max's behaviour in Barcelona this season could cost him the world championship.
I don't think he did anything wrong then.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all well and good us saying, oh, well, you know, Lando has had some errors throughout the season. Lando might bottle it in Abu Dhabi. But Max Verstappen, through his inability to control his rage sometimes, as good as he is a driver, may have cost himself the world championship, because he ended up losing a fair whack of points that race because of stupidity. And he's admitted that himself, that it was stupid, reckless, it was dangerous. I mean, he was lucky that he didn't get, you know, dragged off the track, in my opinion. If we're going to look back at historical errors, that is potentially one of the errors of the season.
Yeah.
And that came from four-time world champion, greatest driver on the grid currently, one of the greatest drivers we've ever seen, who gets talked up constantly. You know, yet we're here talking about Lando potentially bottling it when he's leading the championship.
Yeah, you make a fair point. And actually, when you look at all of these title contenders here, they've all had massive errors this year. You know, just not Lando, Max, Piastri. You know, look at Baku, those poor performances, and he hasn't really delivered since then. So yeah, all three will look back, and all three had the opportunity to go on and win this championship. So whoever goes on next week to do it, fair play. But there will be a couple of them who will look back and review the season kind of going, yeah, we kind of screwed ourselves.
Yeah, and I'm sure internally, if it's neither of the McLarens, I do think a lot of the finger pointing should be at the team as to why neither of those drivers won the World Championship.
Papaya rules.
Exactly.
But it doesn't rule, does it? Talking about having the car, let's get on to Ferrari, shall we? Because, look...
Wait. Just before we go on to them, just to tie up Red Bull nicely, it is widely reported that Yuki Tsunoda has been told that he will not have a racing seat for next season. It looks like Liam Lawson has secured his VCARB seat. Isaac Hadjar will be getting the second Red Bull seat. And Arvid Lindblad will be getting the promotion from Formula 2 up to Formula 1. They are unconfirmed but very reliable reports.
Which would mean, I'm assuming someone like Tsunoda would go to a reserve driver? Something like that?
I don't really think that's how it works at Red Bull. One of the reserve drivers would be... Exactly, yeah.
You see Tsunoda replacing Bottas at Mercedes as a reserve driver this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe he gets roped into Aston Martin in some way, shape or form. Obviously, they're going to be powered by Honda. So that is perhaps the likely place. I don't think it will be in a race seat. I think it would be as a reserve driver.
A better performance from Tsunoda this weekend. Looked reasonably good in the sprint, although he got a penalty, and then Antonelli got a penalty, so that kind of helped him out. But you know, finishing P10 today.
He out-qualified Max Verstappen.
The first time. So well done, Yuki Tsunoda. That's your sending-off present.
Yeah, look, that's not bad. I would be hanging that on the mantelpiece in my living room.
Right, do you think, Yuki Tsunoda... out-qualified Max Verstappen. Max goes in and goes, right, I know you're still undecided whether you're going to actually keep him or not. Get rid of him. I'm not having that. Get him out.
Yeah, they were probably going to keep him until that. Hang on, he's making me look slow. Get him gone. So sacked him. No, yeah. I think, look, that's... It shows that Yuki Tsunoda... We know that Yuki Tsunoda is a good driver, and I think it would be a shame to see Yuki Tsunoda not have a seat for next season anywhere, because I do believe he's good enough to be in F1. But, you know, he had his opportunity at a top team, and he didn't deliver, and it's always a shame to see, but that's the brutal nature of the sport, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, let's get on to Ferrari, because Ferrari... Well done, lads. You've had your worst finish since 2020. You are confirmed P4 in the constructors. You cannot get P3. You cannot get P2. You will finish P4. Look, I don't know what to say. We're obviously Lewis fans, and look, this weekend was depressing. Out in Q1 in sprint qualifying, out in Q1 in qualifying. That car looked a handful. And it's interesting. I did a video yesterday and I put it out and I, oh, well, how come Leclerc can drive that car? He finished P8 today. Like, Leclerc's setting the world alight in this car, okay? So it's not about the car's good and it's just Lewis Hamilton isn't performing in it. Well, Lewis Hamilton looks like he's not performing as well. He's obviously struggling a lot with it. But Charles Leclerc...
I think we should just clarify here. We're not saying that Lewis is on par with Charles.
No.
But we're saying that both of these drivers should be near the front of... They should be near the front of the grid, not where they are. So for us, as Ferrari fans, currently, it's not really about the gap between Lewis and Charles. It's about why the hell are we not seeing... either of them on the podium week in, week out. How have we gone so far back from last season? It's unbelievable. And, you know, maybe it is to do with redistributing development into next year's car early on. I don't know. But, yeah, it should have never... Other teams would have done that. It's not gone as bad as them for it. You know, do you believe Mercedes have been developing their car all season. They've not really fallen off a cliff, but the Ferrari looks bad, and you're right, it's a handful to drive. It looks just shocking.
If you haven't seen the onboard footage of Leclerc and Hamilton driving this Ferrari this weekend, go and watch it, because it is like they're wrestling an alligator. You know, Leclerc yesterday in the sprint just kept going off, didn't he? In the race today, it was just a handful. They couldn't even overtake, you know, the Saubers. Hülkenberg overtook Leclerc very, very comfortably before he got taken out. And look, like I said, if Leclerc was outperforming him, and by, you know, him, Leclerc getting on the podium and Hamilton finishing P10, 11, 12, I'd be going, yeah, do you know what? Actually, there's a real issue here with Lewis Hamilton. And don't get me wrong, Leclerc has had better results this year than Lewis Hamilton. But this car is shocking. So I'm not overly worried about Lewis Hamilton not being able to deliver. I'm more worried about the performance of this car. And look, we need to get rid of this era of car very quick, because it is pretty shocking. It is shocking.
But this is what I've been saying. When Leclerc fans and Lewis fans have been beefing each other online, this, we should be unified. We should be beefing Ferrari. How dare you give this car to two unbelievable drivers? You know, you've got the greatest driver of all time and Charles Leclerc, who is worthy of a world championship, and you produce him with this, and then you have all the team stuff going on with, you know, the man at the top who sits on a gold-plated seat saying that, you know, the drivers essentially should shut up and just, you know, drive the car because the team have done a very good job. And it's just not good enough. Rather than seeing the bigger picture and thinking, actually, like, lads, this isn't good enough, you know. Someone like that should be coming out and rallying that team and being like, look at who we've invested in. Charles Leclerc, Sir Lewis Hamilton. Get to work. And I'm not saying they're not working, by the way. I'm not saying that, you know, the people at the factory, all the engineers, everyone, from top to bottom at Ferrari, I can imagine is working extremely hard. But it goes back to the systematic issues that they've got, where it's all well and good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could work... Yeah, you're a nurse, right? Or used to be, right? I could work 20 hours a day as a nurse. It's pointless if I'm not doing a good job. You know, the hours that I'm putting in is irrelevant. The work that they're producing is not where it needs to be. And, you know, I know we've said this so many times this season. Next year is going to be really, really important for Ferrari, because if they get it wrong, it's going to be another painful string of years for them.
Talking of next year, obviously Lewis Hamilton this weekend was... You've probably seen his post-race interviews. He's in a bad place. Will we see Lewis Hamilton racing for Ferrari in 2026?
Yes, 100%. I believe Lewis Hamilton will be at Ferrari next season. I think, unless the master plan was to come to Ferrari and win a championship with them this season, but they hadn't shown any, unless he'd been sold absolute lies by Fred Vasseur and co, there was no way he was ever going to win a championship this season. I don't think anyone, well, I think you were at some point, but that says more about you than anyone else.
No, I mean, we're all living in like a little...
I think, you know, Lewis moved to Ferrari with the view of the next era of cars, because that's exactly what he did when he moved to Mercedes. No one thought he was going to Mercedes to win the 2013 World Championship.
I don't think he expected it to be this bad, though.
No. I'm sure he didn't expect it to be this bad. But ultimately, if Ferrari come out next year and they've got a car that is fighting for wins, everyone will forget about this season. You know, all it's going to take is for a quick car for this season to be completely forgotten about. No one is going to care about it. And if we're seeing Lewis and Charles win races, if it gets to 2026 and we see Lewis and Charles win races, people will look at this season as a bit of a tactical masterclass, right? And that's how fickle the sport is and how razor thin the line that these teams do have to walk. And I know a lot of the time we come on here and speak like passionately as fans, like, well, we fucking hate them. Like, why are they doing this? But that's because we're fans. But like, if you look at it from a perhaps more impartial point of view, you know, people would look at this and say, well, yeah, like obviously Ferrari had a terrible season because McLaren still had to develop a little bit because they were going for a world championship. Red Bull had to continue to some extent because they were going for a world championship. And perhaps Mercedes felt like they had to because they wanted to secure P2 in the Constructors' Championship. I don't know. I don't know what anyone's doing, right? I'm not there. But Ferrari, they took their foot off the gas in, I don't know, April because they were just throwing the kitchen sink at next year's car. And I'm sure most teams did that, right? This is purely speculative. And all of a sudden, it looks like a fucking masterclass, right? Are you telling me, right? If Lewis and Charles win, or let's just say Ferrari, if Ferrari win the first five races next season, even first three, people are going to look at this season and be like, oh yeah, I get it now. That makes sense. That was worth it. You know, it's clear what they were doing. They just were, fuck this car, we're working on next year. And it will look like a stroke of genius.
Or it will go the other way, where the first three races and Lewis and Charles are battling for P7 and P8, and everyone's like, yeah, we know, we are just shit.
And this is the problem. This is the fine line that teams walk, right? And this is especially, the line is even tighter when you're Ferrari and when you've gone so long being a mediocre team.
I get what you're saying, but I just think that actually this whole process of taking your foot off the gas to concentrate on focus on the year you've got. And I understand we've got new regulations coming in, but this Ferrari team were fighting for the Constructors' Championship up until the last race of the season last year. They finished P2. For me, when you finish P2 and you've gone for that battle for the championship, I'd be thinking, do you know what? No, we've got a good chance of going on to win the Constructors next year. What do we need to do to also invest in this car? Not just take your foot off the gas and go, yeah, let's go for 2026. Because it is a gamble. And yeah, it could be a stroke of genius. But it could also be, you know, you've missed a great opportunity here. And, you know, when you've got Lewis Hamilton, he hasn't even been on the podium this year. Carlos Sainz has been on the podium more this year than Lewis Hamilton. Do you know what I mean?
And do you... Do you remember what Carlos Sainz said when he joined Williams?
No.
They won't see me on the podium or the top five this year, so don't get your hopes up. But at least they know I haven't come to Williams to just hang around or let the years go by. So, he lied to us. He lied to everyone because we've seen Carlos Sainz on the podium twice, which is... two times more than we've seen Sir Lewis Hamilton, who took his seat. But I don't think that's anything to do with Lewis. I think this is a Ferrari issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not being funny. It really doesn't matter if Charles Leclerc is finishing 9th, 8th, and Lewis is finishing 12th, 13th. You got bigger issues. Ferrari should be finishing first. You know, if Leclerc was picking up podiums week in, week out, and Lewis was finishing outside the points, vice versa, whatever, there you've got a driver issue. Right now, you've got a car/team issue. So,
yeah, but don't worry. John Elkin said that the team and the engineers are, like, you know, on top form. You know, they're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, well, they've got good pit stops, so that is that's right. Important.
Let's get on to Williams, shall we? Carlos Sainz, well, what can you say? A P3. Again, a nice little tactical masterclass by Williams, making the right decision. McLaren should take a leaf out of their book. But, you know, Carlos Sainz, P3. Alex Albon, P11. Look, Carlos Sainz is performing well. And he drove superbly today.
Yeah. Carlos Sainz is... is really finding his feet at this Williams team. I don't think anyone ever doubted Carlos Sainz's ability. No one ever thought, oh, why have Williams gone for Carlos Sainz? Everyone thought, why has Carlos Sainz gone for Williams? You know, and I could not be happier, by the way, that it's working out for both Carlos Sainz and for Williams. And I want to see them continue this momentum into next season, because they've got a great driver partnership and they've got a really good thing going on there. You know, Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon are going to finish 9th and 8th in the championship. You know, it's very, very, very unlikely that Isaac Hadjar is going to be able to get enough points to finish ahead of Carlos Sainz now. And that's remarkable.
Do you know what I liked about Williams? And this is something, again, Ferrari could probably take a leaf out of Williams. And you saw it last year when Carlos Sainz was always trying to like go, well, why don't we do this? We got this opportunity. We need to go for this. We need to go for that. And he was never really listened to. And I suppose that's what kind of an issue which Ferrari continue to have till this day. But over the radio today, he was talking to his, you know, engineer and going, we need to go for this. Let's go full pace. We got this. Let's push for this. We've got a great opportunity here. And the team are just working in unity. And it's so nice to hear a race engineer and driver just on the same page, if that makes sense. It's nice to actually listen to a driver and a team go, yeah, okay, let's go for this. We've got nothing to lose. This is what we're going to do. That's what we're going to go for. And the driver is being listened to. And they come out with a fantastic P3, and Carlos Sainz and the team are, you know, obviously delighted with that. So, you know, it is a difference from what he had in Ferrari.
I don't think anyone's watched Carlos Sainz get up on the podium this evening and thought, God, I hate that guy. You know, I think everyone's going to be very happy for them and Williams. And, you know, we've spoken about Carlos Sainz a lot this season because he started the season pretty poorly, you know. But we know the struggles of going to a new team, etc. but we expected him to comfortably beat Alex Albon. And I would say, you know, if we had the second half of the season again, as in, you know, he would, because he's looked very, very strong. Now he's really settled in. So it was also really difficult for him coming into this season, having, you know, unfairly lost his seat at Ferrari. Carlos Sainz wasn't a driver that deserved to lose his seat. And I think, you know, even Ferrari knew that. He'll know that. He didn't lose his seat for any other reason, that it was Lewis Hamilton that they'd picked up, right? So again, you've got to imagine how tough that must have been to take mentally, and for him to, yeah, come out and smash the season with two podiums in a Williams. In a Williams, by the way, right? I know they're no joke of a team historically, but recently, you know, not great. Not good to be a Williams driver in the last, say, 7 years or so. 7 or 8 years.
I'm honestly delighted to see Williams back up. Look, I've said on this podcast over the years, I'm a big fan of Williams, and I would love to see them back, you know, fighting for championships. And when I said Carlos Sainz went there, and for me, what a signing. And he's got, and I like Sainz anyway, you know, and we've said, didn't we, when you said it earlier, that, you know, he shouldn't have lost his seat in theory at Ferrari, but it seems like it's potentially one of the best moves he's made. You know, going there now, this team is going in the right direction, and I really like what James Vowles is doing. I do believe that they will be, you know, in contentions for championships over the next few years, because they're going in the right direction. They've got a great driver pairing, and I'm really excited to see what Williams can do. I really am.
They fill you with confidence. That's the biggest compliment I can give them.
More than we can say about Ferrari. But anyway, and that's enough about Ferrari. Stop going on about it, Luke. Let's go on to Mercedes. Antonelli, P5. Maybe should have been a P4. And George Russell, P6. Luke, I'll hand this over to you to have your say about Kimi Antonelli, okay?
I don't understand it. It almost looks fucking rigged. Like it genuinely does. I don't know if you've watched it back. Like, I don't know if Lando's slipping him like a 20 after the race or anything, but because I know Kimi's young, so a bit of pocket money, he can go buy some sweets from the shop with it. But that was outrageous. Yeah, it was so, like, timing wise, it was so like, that's got to be a setup. He's got to be in on that. He's got to be. But yeah, just a really strange sort of error from Kimi Antonelli, and it gifted Lando that position, which, you know, made our title battle a little less pressureful. I don't think that's the right word. Going into next week, but nonetheless, look, Kimi Antonelli, I think, again, is someone second half of the season. He has really ramped it up. He's looked so much stronger than, you know, he was quite nervy when he came in, but he's young. He's 18. I just made a joke about him buying sweets from the shop. So he didn't get a hard time at the start of the season, I wouldn't say. I think that would be giving him way too much slack. He definitely had some question marks raised about the hype around him, but I think Kimi Antonelli is really coming into his own now, and I don't think the gap between him and George Russell is going to be as large as it was this season. I stand by what I said, that all the while George Russell is at Mercedes, he's going to be the number one driver. I don't think that really matters who his teammate is at this stage of his career. I think George Russell is a world champion. Fight me if you want. But I think Kimi Antonelli will be a very, very strong Mercedes driver, and just don't go gifting positions to the world champion contender when we're trying to set up for an unbelievable race in Abu Dhabi. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what we want.
Well, even GP didn't. Did you hear him over the radio? Kimi's just looks like he's just let Lando through, which is just mental in itself. But yeah, it looks like he just had a snap of oversteer, lost it, and then all of a sudden Lando was just kind of going, yeah, thank you very much. Easy overtake. Just finishing on George, you know, George, difficult day today, P6. Kind of got outdone in the pit stops, that didn't help him. But, you know, a really good, really strong race yesterday in the sprint race, P2 for him. But yeah, just one of those difficult days for George today.
Yeah, well, look, I'll be honest. It was, in terms of race-wise, it was a difficult day for everyone. We didn't see a great deal of overtaking on track. You know, I mean, you look, even Lando couldn't overtake Kimi until he made that mistake. And
yeah, so we saw two overtakes, Max on Lando and Lando on Kimi. So we saw two overtakes today. What are you on about? 57?
Yeah, and we had Nico Hülkenberg overtake Charles Leclerc, and then we had Pierre Gasly crash into him. But yeah, it was one of those races where it became very settled. And it was kind of like, yeah, nothing's happening here. They're just going to finish like this, aren't they?
Theme of the season. Theme of the season.
It also didn't... I fucking said it wouldn't help and it didn't. All this pit stop thing meant is that everyone came in at the same time, which granted made it a little bit funny because it was like, holy fuck, okay, everyone's in the pits. And it was chaotic, but it didn't provide us with the added entertainment.
No.
Not that it was supposed to, by the way. I know that, but I know a lot of people have been calling for mandatory two pit stops to spice it up, and I've said for the longest time that is not going to do it, and I hope this proves the point. What it will do is give us exciting pit stops, because it was hilarious, like I said today, all 20-ish drivers or whatever coming in to pit at the same time is funny, but yeah, it's not going to give us the strategy battles that we really want in the sport.
No, agree. Aston Martin, Alonso, nice little P7 today. Lance Stroll, yep. P17. Strong weekend from Fernando.
Yeah, you know, he was unlucky that he got that little spin as well late on. He was then also lucky that Isaac Hadjar had a puncture. But yeah, the Aston Martins have looked quicker sort of coming into these final races. I really thought they were going to pull something out the bag in Las Vegas, like with both of them, but obviously that didn't come to fruition, and they looked stronger here. I mean, Lance DNF'd, but that's besides the point. the driver that matters did very well. And yeah, Fernando Alonso has turned this season around, because let's not forget that Lance Stroll was the dominant Aston Martin driver at the start of the season. But yeah, Fernando Alonso is pretty comfortable. But it's just, yeah, Aston Martin, they've obviously made the change. They've got Adrian Newey in as team principal, which I find personally a strange decision. I think he should focus on building and designing cars. Personally, that's just what I think.
Do you think Lawrence Stroll has kind of gone, look, oh crap, we're paying him a hell of a lot of money here, and actually when I'm going into the office, he's spending the 2 or 3 days actually just sitting on the sofa catching up, you know, with Stranger Things or whatever. We need to give him another job.
Kill two birds principal. With one stone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He's probably not got a pay rise for this, because he was earning enough anyway. He's probably just said, yeah, I'm going to get you to...
Can you imagine you turn around...
Like, to run the team as well.
I'm happy to become team principal, but I'm going to need a bit more money, because I don't think what you're paying me is enough. All right,
yeah. it's not enough.
Yeah.
I'm barely able to put food on the table with what I'm earning at the moment. So if I'm going to be doing more hours, I'm going to need some more dough.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
I think...
I need a new notepad, all right? The money goes to my notepads. Come on, lads.
Is that a gimmick? Is the notepad a gimmick? Can someone tell me? Is it a prop that he walks around with, just, you know, to look... Oh, that's his notebook. That's where all his secrets... He's got a fucking iPad at home. Everything's in the iPad. That probably just has the fucking password to his bank details in, so he doesn't forget them.
It just has stickman drawings.
Yeah. He's probably got writings in there just mocking everyone who thinks it's got all his drawings in. They've got absolutely... It's his shopping list. That's what it is. He's got nothing in that notebook. It's a gimmick, I'm telling you.
It's his Ocado shopping list that he has to send to his wife.
It's all for show. And now he's team principal. Is he going to have enough time to worry about the car? I don't know. You know, and if it's a case of he's team principal and he's just delegating the other things because he needs to focus on the car, then surely just get a team principal. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know why they've selected him to be team principal. Unless there's a reason in that they want him to have ultimate freedom for whatever, but it's never stopped him creating a good car before.
No.
So... I don't know why you'd look to change up the system now, but yeah.
Interesting one.
Hopefully they can find a little bit of stability, because they are going through team principles like they're going out of fashion.
Mm. All right, let's quickly go finish off on the other teams. Alpine, look, I'm going to skip over that. Pierre Gasly, it's a racing incident with Hülkenberg, but...
It's Gasly's fault.
It's your fault, mate. It is your fault. I don't want to talk about Alpine. There's nothing nice to say about them.
Yeah, just do better next year, guys. Look, I say that from a place of no hate. I want to see every team performing. You know, I'd love it if we had a different team winning every single week. I know that's never going to happen, but... Come on, Alpine. Sort your shit out.
RBs. Lawson P9. Isaac Hadjar P18. Obviously had that puncture, which was disappointing for him. But yeah, Liam Lawson. Another few points for the team today. Yeah, I think RB would be relatively happy with how their season has been. Isaac Hadjar, again, you know, he was just unlucky, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those things that happen. I'm sure he'll be looking over his shoulder. He's got a couple of experienced drivers on his tail in that championship. But again, you know, picking up sort of those points differences is going to be difficult. But I think Fernando Alonso is probably who he's got to worry about maintaining his P10 in the standings. But yeah, look, props to the Racing Bulls. They've had a really good season, in my opinion. Especially, you know, they have to deal with the chaos of kind of dealing with like whatever Red Bull throw at them. had to deal with that early on. And then Liam Lawson didn't exactly hit the ground running when he came back to that team, understandably. But they've done really well, and I think Liam Lawson has ended the season strong. Isaac Hadjar's had a fantastic season, and it's going to be a shame to see him leave that team, but you're not going to turn down Red Bull. And, you know, that's the whole reason he's at Racing Bulls, is to ensure that he gets that Red Bull seat. So, yeah, they'll be delighted with how the season's gone, and they'll be happy with this weekend. They'll just feel a little bit hard done by with the puncture.
Yeah. Sauber, Bortoleto P13, Hülkenberg, obviously DNF'd with that accident.
Hülkenberg was looking rapid.
I think he was on for points, huh?
Hülkenberg was looking rapid.
He was. He was on for some good points today, so it was disappointing. He'll be very gutted with that. But yeah, unfortunate. It was, yeah, one of those. But Bortoleto, yeah, P13 wasn't really anywhere today. The Sauber, apart from Hülkenberg, it was a missed opportunity for Hülkenberg today.
Yeah, yeah. In my opinion, not a lot he could have done about it. I thought Gasly was a little bit naughty going into the corner, his movement and the braking, and then I think Hülkenberg gave him a lot of room, and Gasly just obviously tried to run him off the track, but ended up running into him. And I think, you know, both are poor. You know, you shouldn't be running drivers off the track. That's not what you want to see, and we certainly don't want to see them crashing into each other. But, you know, I wouldn't say that's a common Pierre Gasly thing to happen. It's just unfortunate. And that it will go down as a racing incident. And it is a racing incident. I just think Pierre Gasly was at fault for it, personally.
Yeah, no, I agree. Finally, Haas, Ocon P15. Behrmann, they end up retiring the car. God knows why. It's really weird, that pit incident. The green light came on, but his rear wheel was still up on the jack. It was just very, very strange. And you saw the frustration in the car afterwards when he was finally released from the pit stop. But yeah, disappointing weekend for Haas.
Oh my God. I just choked on my spit. But again, Haas are one of those teams that are going to look at this season and be like, well, okay, a bad weekend, yeah, but it's been a good season. I think the one thing that they are probably going to be upset about is that I think they've probably now, they needed to pick up points this week if they were going to secure that P7. I think it would be incredibly difficult to get P7 in the championship now, having not secured any points this race. And, you know, Ollie Behrmann, correct me if I'm wrong, was on like a 5-point streak. So they were probably anticipating points when they arrived here. But yeah, I'm convinced Haas are going to look at this season and think, not bad. Do you know what I mean? No. We're not disappointed with that. If they got P7 in the constructors, I actually think they'd be over the moon with this season.
Well, Ollie Behrmann's 9 points clear from Ocon. He's had a fantastic season, and you know, you were more than me, but we're uncertain how he was actually going to perform. But he's done a phenomenal job, and out to perform, you know, an experienced driver like Esteban Ocon in your first season is no easy feat, and he's done it reasonably comfortable, isn't he?
Yeah, Ollie Behrmann is, you know, certainly in that conversation for rookie of the season.
I agree. Right, let's just finish off on the driver standings. I won't go through it all, but Lando Norris is on 408 points. Max Verstappen after today's win is 396. Oscar Piastri, 392. And then you've got George Russell, Leclerc, Lewis and Kimi. Kimi would have been on joint points today with Lewis Hamilton had he not, you know, moved out of the way for Lando. only joking. The constructors, McLaren obviously are on 800 points. Mercedes are P2, 459. Red Bull 426, and Ferrari on 382. Williams P5, RB's P6, Aston Martin P7, Haas P8, and Kicksauber 9th, and Alpine 10th. Just quickly, Luke, obviously head into next week. Who's your top three for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix?
Do you know what? I'm not going to do a top three. Because I've got a better question. Who is going to be world champion?
Look, if I'm going by what I've been saying all season, all right, I think it's
Oscar
going to
be... Oscar Piastri.
But after today, I think it's going to be Max Verstappen. I do. I don't... Look, I'm not going to say... You can say what you like. You can say I have an agenda, whatever you like. I just personally feel Lando Norris is going to be under a lot of pressure now. And I'm not so sure that he can deal with it, personally.
Do you know what? Something inside me is telling me that Max Verstappen is going to be world champion when we get to the end of Abu Dhabi. So if I'm answering that question, Max Verstappen.
But why? Okay, why? Are you with me in the sense of actually maybe Lando Norris might not be able to deal with the pressure?
I just believe in Max. I just have... He never... I'm going to reiterate again. I'm not a Max Verstappen fan. Max Verstappen has never filled me with an inch of doubt. When you're expecting him to do something, he does it. And I think... I'm expecting him to win the championship.
And yeah, I agree with you. Let us know what your thoughts are. Who will be winning the world championship come the end of Abu Dhabi? For both of us, I think it's Max Verstappen. Lando's in a good position still. He can still go on and do it. But yeah, made it difficult today, the McLaren team. Do let us know what your thoughts are on all the podcasts. Do let us know what your thoughts are on the Qatar Grand Prix. We'll be back next week. Well, reviewing the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix for the final race of the season, and we will finally know who is world champion. Will it be Lando? Will it be Oscar? Or will it be Max Verstappen? Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. Have a good week, and we shall see you later. Bye-bye.